I know it's only been a few hours, but this is a missing child. What don't you understand about that?
I'm here, Clara calls out softly.
Let me talk to your supervisor.
Ruth hasn't heard or seen her.
Nathan, will you please get on the goddamn phone and deal with these people?
It is then that Clara notices her father. He is slumped on the sofa, his head buried in his hands. He's never home from the office this early. She feels suddenly sick to her stomach.
I'm here,
Clara calls again, hiding half of herself behind the doorframe. A clatter as Ruth drops the phone on the coffee table.
Oh, thank God!
Nathan gets to the foyer a few steps ahead of Ruth. His face is so pale, it appears to be almost blue above his starched white shirt. Here is the first thing I think you should know. Art can be dangerous, even when decorous. And sometimes, decorous art looks dangerous too. Case in point, Artemisia Gentileschi's Judith Severing the Head of Holofernes. Painted right around 1620, it has lost none of its power to shock. Two women hold down a struggling man while one of them draws a sword across his neck. No question, this is a brutal, bloody painting. So are many paintings. Violence, like romantic love and spiritual passion, being one of the great themes of art. But there is so much in this particular painting that is disturbing. The two women work in dispassionate exertion. They could be Julia Child and Alice Waters deboning a turkey. He was standing so close to her that the only way she could get a sip of her, what was it? Tonic water with lime? Why wasn't there any gin? Was to sort of slide it up her front and introduce it into her mouth from below. And then he moved half a step closer. He said,
No, they're interested in what you do to hogs, with hogs. I'm interested in who hogs are.
Who are hogs?
See, now nobody knows that.
No, I meant, is that what you're interested in? Who are hogs?
You bet.
Oh.
You see, you're stumped, aren't you? Give me a hog fact.
What?
You've been around here long enough to know one little thing about hogs. Just say what it is.
Elaine turned her shoulder into Dr. Beau's chest and gave a tactful little shove. She felt as though he were pushing her down a hole. As though she should raise her hand and wave for help.
Just one.
She took a deep breath. Let's see. My first husband was a dog, all snuffling, clumsy, ardent devotion. At first, to be fair to him. We were a couple of puppies, gambling and frisking in our love for each other and collapsing in a panting heap on the bed every night. But time in puppyhood passed, as it tends to do, and as he grew into a devoted, sad-eyed, rather smelly hound, I found myself becoming a cat. It is not the dog's fault that cats and dogs fight like cats and dogs, and probably, to be fair to myself, it is not the cat's fault either. Like all good storytellers, like all good life coaches, Shakespeare doesn't legislate. He invites us to explore our emotions and judgments. He asks questions. He gives suggestions. He offers possibilities. He coaches. Shakespeare's century saw the beginning of self-help literature. Like today's self-help books, these manuals focused on a specific aspect of personal life. They range from the politically pragmatic, Machiavelli's advice that the ruler appear religious, for example, to the physically impossible, Castiglione's instruction that the ideal courtier be neither extremely short nor tall.